Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch for Crappins, a podcast about all that crap we just love talking about on ye old Bravo television. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and lovable, and if it weren't a pandemic, huggable, Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Bean. How you doing there, buddy?
I'm good. Well, you're still huggable. I'll send you some hug emojis after this if I remember to. So you can get a little
it's
hug.
It's like my sex life. Salt emojis. Emojis.
Yeah.
I'll raise you that eggplant with an apple. Why? I don't know, really. But hey, it's COVID sex.
No, peach. I think a peach is the fruit you're looking for. So how are you, Ronnie? How was your weekend?
It was great. Loved it. Had good. A great time. Did a lot of shopping indoors. So that's always fun. I don't know, just sort of plugging along over here. How's it going with you?
Everything's great. You know, I had a little Hanukkah time on Friday night, made some latkes, got into the season, and you know, and now we're here. I'm looking at the date. Today is the 29-year anniversary of my bar mitzvah. Today.
Wow.
I'm old. I've been
Ryan
a man
Murphy's
for a while.
Next problem, or his next the production bar. On Netflix.
One thing's universal. A small percentage of the U.S. population gets bar mitzvahed.
I'll be played by James Corden.
And
I guess I couldn't be in it because that was 29 years ago. Well, maybe we'll make it that you knew me as a little kid, too.
Yeah.
I'll be played by James Corden.
Yeah, I think that's what it should be. That like, and I invite you to my synagogue and you're like, whoa, it's a synagogue. I didn't know about this. And then there can be a controversy because maybe you can like convert to Judaism and then the controversy will be that, oh, wait, but Ronnie, you are not a Jewish person playing someone who turns into a Jew. How could that be?
Well, the controversy is going to be that James fucking Corden is playing me. I'll be so mad. You want to see somebody pissed off? I will be pissed off if James Corden ever plays me.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to play me in anything, but apparently it's going to be Dave from the Great British Bake Off. So what can I do?
Well, today we have Real Housewives of Potomac Reunion Part 1. Now, we know it's a holiday season because it's Hanukkah, you know?
Yeah.
But it's also because it's a reunion. There's always a nice month-long reunion to bring us into the holidays. And you know what? It was wasn't it worth it? I hope Jesus is up in heaven like it's all been worth it.
Here's my gift to you, a reunion. It was worth it. This was a great reunion episode. It was super funny. I was a little concerned at first because it opened up. There was like a big the big segment that seemed to have to do with nothing that we'll get into a little bit. And I was like, oh, are they padding this out? But no, this was a really good reunion episode.
Yes, it was really good. And it opens very dramatically as everyone's getting ready. But it's like a super dramatic getting ready.
Yeah.
Time. Usually it's like, hey, Andy, how you doing? I'm in Chicago. Want me to prove it? But this time it was very dramatic. And it starts with Karen going, we have broken each other this year. Talk to God. Do what you have to do to get this right.
Yeah. And Candace shows up in a sweatshirt that says, over it, which is so Candace to wear such a bratty sweatshirt. Like, I can't stand those types of sweatshirts. Like, over it, over it. I'm like, you're not. You're wearing a sweatshirt. You're broadcasting it, which means you're not over it.
And the lady at the front desk is like, are you experiencing any flu-like symptoms? And Candace just starts waving her finger at the lady. And she's like, just extreme anxiety. But that is not COVID-related.
The woman's like, I didn't ask about anxiety. Do you have a fever? Are you going to make me sick?
Yeah, the front desk lady's like, I'm on T. Monique. So.
Yeah, T. Monique. So I gave her the binder. I gave her the tabs and the inserts.
Yeah, I gave her those color-coded inserts.
So then Andy checks in on everyone, and he sees Chris Samuels. He's like, hey! And he like puts his elbow out for a little elbow dap. And then moments later, he's transported to the hospital after his arm is, you know, basically knocked off by Chris's little pinky.
Yeah, his elbow is crushed to death. And Giselle is giving Wendy some advice. She's like, your first reunion, nah. The name of the game is throw the first curve before someone else can, nah.
Oops. I think that Giselle did not quite take that advice this episode.
So then Andy goes to check on Giselle, and he's like, so Giselle, will you wardrobe pass the Karen test? And she's like, well, Karen is an interesting person. She's obsessed.
Yeah. And by the way, we should also mention that Monique brought T'Challa to the reunion, and T'Challa was just backstage, just because why not? Why not have T'Challa there? And then Karen says, well, Giselle, you talk about me behind my back because you're afraid to give me an opportunity to talk directly because you know I have a response for you. I'm like, what are you saying? Could you just say, Giselle, you're afraid of what I have to say?
Yeah. No, it's Karen. So then Candace is in her makeup chair watching clips of Monique saying that she's not remorseful. And Candace is like, I cannot wrap my mind around this, Andy. I just cannot. And then we go to Monique's room, and she's like, I brought a book of receipts. Call me the accountant.
Yeah, everyone has a tab. And Chris Samuel. And
the tabs are funny, too. It's like old friend is one of the tabs.
Yeah.
And then one of them is labeled post-its.
Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that's got to be Candace.
Yeah.
So, and then Chris and Monique pray before she goes out on stage. And he's like, in Jesus' name we pray. Read them out. Amen.
Read them for filth. Amen.
So then they come onto the stage, and the memo was to wear yellow, and Candace has this big feather fan, like sort of like a showgirl's fan, and a huge yellow bow across her chest. She looks ridiculous. I'll just say it right now. For as much grief as Giselle gets, Candace looks absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and for as much praise as Karen gets, she's dressed like a sponge. You know those dollar store sponges that are like covered in fabric with like silver scribblies on them?
Yes.
She's exactly like one of those sponges. And they're like, wow, Karen's always the classiest dresser. What?
I know. And then Karen takes off her visor because they're all wearing those, what do you call those visors? You have a name for it.
Check cashing store visors.
So Karen takes hers off. She goes, woo! As if she's just been like, she just landed from like a 24-hour flight from like across the world. It's like, Karen, you just took off your visor. Relax.
Well, hey, everybody. I'm Andy Cohen with the Enchanting Girls of Real Housewives of Potomac. This season has been groundbreaking on many levels.
Which I will not elaborate on. I'm just going to say it's groundbreaking. Anyway, I'm so happy to say that we get to do this in person. Hallelujah. T'Challa-luya.
Let's go back to the markets of Madeira.
I was like, well, the 1 year you have an excuse to use plastic crates.
I know. They made it look like it looked like the set of like an opera or something like that. It was like very, very ornate. Like clearly they just were like, okay, Pam in set dressing. She's had this vision for a long time. Let's just let her do this. She's sick of doing these ridiculous backdrops with like marble columns. Let her do her Madeira fantasy. She's wanted it for so many years.
Is this the season that Pam finally gets to put out her plastic milk crates? Let's
see. Is this the season she gets to put out the bananas and a giant sign that says Mercado?
Yeah, and a plastic tablecloth that they just scribbled over Buca de Pepo.
Like, I'm really expecting a chorus to walk in singing some song to start the show. Like, Mercado!
Poncha!
It's a bad
so
song.
They talk about La Poncha and Poon Poon. And then Andy starts his, hello, hey, Ladom, is that one of your new wigs? And she's like, this is Victoria. Straightened out.
And then, hi, Jizz, things are good with your pastor, Jamal. Yes, Andy. And I suspect by the end of this hour, everything will be just fine as well.
Yes, Andy, I'm always the first lady. Well, you wouldn't have to specify that if there weren't like six other ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. She has to be the lady. Hey, Ashley, congratulations. Baby number two is coming along. So how are you going? I'm 6 months in. I don't I don't have anything to say about that. She's
just
6 months
sitting
pregnant.
Over here waiting for my butthole to rip again, Andy. How are you?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Candace, how are you? She's like, I'm well, Andy. It's like, you brought a prop. Is that a prop, that fan? Is that a prop? And she's like, it's a hater blocker or a love spreader, Andy.
God, you're so annoying even in your opening. Can you just be a normal person and say hello?
I know, exactly. And Andy's super shady to Rob, and he's like, hey, Robin, I thought you'd be wearing embellished.
I don't have a yellow embellished hat, Andy.
Her hair, okay, there's been a lot, like, people are saying it looks like she's been run over. I mean, there's like tire tracks on her wig. I think she's like the physical embodiment of the broken wheel on a grocery cart. You know that rickety wheel on a grocery cart?
Oh, I sure do.
That's Robin's. That's what Robin's hair is giving me.
Now, I don't know. Like, I want to weigh in on it and say how it looks crazy. But then I know the moment I do that, I'm going to get like 50 DMs being like, that's actually like a really popular style. And you're an idiot for not knowing that. And da 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 da. Well, next time you should research your wigs before you know, and your styles before you weigh in on it. So I feel like I'm just going to say, if it makes Robin happy, it makes me happy.
No, it looks stupid. Okay, there, I said it. And you're right, it will become, if it's not already, it will become very popular and then will look stupid. Like when Dorit had those barrettes. Remember when she came and her whole head looked like, you know, the top of a, like an electrical.
It looked like someone brought a magnet posts into Michaels. Yeah.
Yes, she looked crazy. And then find out like the next week everybody was doing that. So maybe it is that, but I'm sorry, it's still an ugly trend. Okay, jelly shoes were in too at a certain time, and they're stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, it was like a very yellow hair, like it was like an unnatural yellow hair, but then it also had some sort of like pattern to it, and I was kind of fascinated by it, and I was like, is this the light? Is this a choice? I'm not sure what it is, but I feel like if I weigh in on it too much, I'm probably going to get in trouble. So, but then I also thought, am I really going to get in trouble over Robin's hair? I might. Maybe. Yeah. Is it a risk worth taking? Perhaps. I don't know.
And you decided, nope, not worth it. So Andy is like, hey, Wendy, welcome to your first reunion. Have you gotten any degrees lately?
She's like, actually, yes, I've gotten 3. I'm now a veterinarian.
It's been 5 years, and since then, wigs have been upgraded. Decorum has flown right out or etiquette has flown right out the window. And the green-eyed bandits, well, maybe things never change. Let's see a montage!
So we see a montage of basically everybody's different looks.
Sort of. Yeah, I wasn't totally sure. I was like, what is the I wasn't totally sure what the point of this montage was. It was just sort of like a general, it was like a sizzle reel. It was like a general montage of things.
It was like how much things have changed. So you've got like Karen at first when everything was offensive to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end, she's like, my coochie stink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it was like mainly about like, look at how their looks have changed, because they did a lot of like looks through the years, which was kind of funny. And then when we come out of it, Andy's like, so who has changed the most in the past 5 years? And Monique says Ashley. And Andy's like, well, I was going to say, Karen, why do you think you've changed so much? And she's like, well, Andy, after losing 2 parents, I see life differently, and you can only be true to yourself. It's like, yeah, I was asking about the wigs, but that's fine, too.
Yeah. He's like, well, I'm looking at the footage, and listen, I did not ask you about boobs when I said hello to you, so I'm going to take that opportunity to do that now. Do you have a boob on your face? Did you get a boob on your face? Tell me, has your vagina been tightened all the way up to your tailbone? Tell me the truth, Karen.
He was doing so well. I was like, look at him. Look at him not asking about what procedures people have had on their faces and their chest. And he's like, oh, I feel like you've had a tweak of some sort, huh? And she's like, well, Andy, I did get an injection in my nose. I told my nose it's time to soldier up. So I got an injection in my nose, and that's it. That's all, just an injection in the nose.
She's such a liar, first of all. Okay, no, I'll start. My first of all will be injections of my nose. Okay, she didn't like that her nose was big and bulbous at the end and pointing down. So she got stuff put in her nose so it would be big and bulbous and point up. I don't get that.
It was a helium balloon. You know? The helium balloon sort of raised it up.
Not really sure. And how much did you get put in your nose that it pulled your entire face up? Come on, Karen.
You look like a bowling ball. A very beautiful, shiny bowling ball. It looks good. I will say the biggest change in this montage is how good surgery has gotten. Because Karen looks great. Whatever she's had done, I need done. And it was not just an injection in your nose. I don't know who you think you're kidding.
Yeah, she had... You know what she had done? She got her life back. That's what she had done. She had Ray say thank you for soldering her up, and it changed her face. She actually backpedals, and then she goes, well, we're talking current, right? Current, right? Thank you. She thanks them for some reason. She goes, thank you. Thank you.
She's always in a press conference.
Yeah.
And Giselle says something. It's always not our new face. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. That's my note, though. And then Ashley is like, well, I mean, look, I would say that you've had major upgrades, but I really like these revisions.
Mm, yes. And then are we seeing the real Candace now, or have you evolved? Because in the first season, she was like very much a beauty queen, they said. But now, like, is this the real Candace, or have you evolved into this? And Candace is like, well, you know, I've just gotten more comfortable with the group, and I'm expressing that comfort by wearing this enormous yellow bow across my torso. I don't know if you noticed that, but that shows how comfortable I am that I can wear something so ridiculous on TV and not worry about it.
And Ashley used to show a lot of TNA, and she's like, but now this body is for Dean and the new baby.
You better believe it, everyone. Back off. That body is mine. It was all I like to call it the milk factory. All right. Give me lunch. Wah, wah.
Ashley, or as I like to call her, Mommy. The baby-owned restaurant. Wah-wah. Wah-wah.
I wouldn't say that Mommy's body belongs to me. It's more like Mommy's milk bar belongs to me. Pucker up, Mommy. It's time for feeding. Wah-wah.
So, Andy points out that she's talking about how she's so classy now, but her vagina is about to fall out. And she's like, don't worry, it's covered, Andy. And he's like, speaking of fashion, Giselle, lots of comments about your fashion. And he starts just reading all these comments about Giselle's terrible fashion, which is so rude and also so funny. And Giselle says, no, that's just because of Kinkle Karen, Andy. She's starting people on that, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, when she says that, it just goes in one ear and out the other. And Karen goes, he's like, well, Karen, how would you describe her style? A mess, a hot mess. And she knows it, though. That's her trademark, you know, it's a trademark. And you know what? I say this, Giselle, you're a very beautiful woman, but your taste sucks. And she's like, well, that's your opinion, Karen. Nah. Yes.
Yeah,
and
she's like, who told you to say that, Karen? Good one. Who told you to say that?
She's like,
she doesn't need a writer for that, Giselle. Okay, yeah. Why is Giselle getting owned this early in the reunion?
I know. Well, I've grown to appreciate that fashion, and it's been very therapeutic for me in quarantine. And he's like, therapeutic in quarantine? Yes, because, you know, I'm like, let me see what she has on, and I enjoy it. It brings me joy. You know, when you're in the midst of one of the worst pandemics that's ever hit the entire world, it's nice to have a beacon of light, such as Giselle's terrible fashions. Brings me joy.
And Wendy, who's trying to help, but is, like, terrible at it, she is through the whole reunion, by the way, she's not, you don't want Wendy on your side to try to help, because she goes, well, Andy, Giselle suffers from pretty girl syndrome. She's so pretty, she doesn't have to try. And Giselle's like, yes, well, if this is suffering, then I like that suffrage, Andy. I will take it.
So what does Robin think about Giselle's fashion?
I think Giselle makes some bold fashion choices that aren't for me, but she rocks them with her own style. In her own way, she kind of embodies everything about embellish, embellish.com.
Like, why are you asking, Robin? She looks like she's been banged in the head with a dirty soccer ball like 10 times. Okay. So, Monique, what do you think about Giselle's fashion? This is like the pettiest reunion ever, and I just love it. Like, let's have a whole question and answer session about how much Giselle's fashion sense sucks.
Yeah, it's overdue.
So we go to Monique, and she's like, it's just basically a hand in the face emoji, Andy. And Candace, who's also supposed to be Team Giselle, is like, you know what I would love? I would love you to have a day with an amazing stylist, Giselle.
And again, she's wearing that enormous bow while she says this.
And Karen's like, well, you should be happy you put a smile on my face in quarantine.
And Giselle's, but Giselle's like, well, you were wearing fake Fendi. Because apparently on Watch What Happens Live, Giselle pointed out that Karen was wearing fake Fendi this season. And Karen says, oh, well, Giselle wouldn't know fake Fendi from true. She wouldn't know fake from true. And Giselle's like, it said Endy. And we see that Karen's shirt actually said Endy. And so she's like, well, can you spell alterations? I had it altered so it wouldn't fall off my shoulders and show my tatas. That's all. I'm like, you're Karen, you are never going to alter the F off of your Fendi shirt. You did not pay to have something that says Endy. You paid for something to say
that
Fendi.
That is a damn lie.
That, yeah, you bought Endy and you didn't realize.
That is a damn lie and I love it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Andy's like, well, Monique, who do you think the best dressed is? And she says Karen, because, you know, she's team Karen. Mm-hmm. And then Candace says that she would call it a tie between herself and Karen. Oh. And Andy's like, Monique, I thought you would say yourself. And she's like, well, I'm not that vain, Andy. And Candace goes, in public.
Boom, got her.
Yeah,
I think it, if you're not that vain in public, oh no, never mind. I was gonna say if you're vain only in private, does that mean you're still vain? But I guess it's still yes, you would be. So why have Robin and Giselle maintained their friendship for so long? Because they're Real Housewives and they should have had a falling out by now. And Robin's like, well, we enjoy one another, and you know, we see each other as real friends and not friends for strategic reasons.
Yeah. And Karen's like, oh, the question is, Karen, you've been gunning for them. How come all the venom this year for Robin and Giselle, who were so innocent, never do anything to anybody? Why are you coming for Robin and Giselle? I can't imagine. Robin's whole attitude in this is so funny. Like, Robin acting like she's so innocent this whole reunion cracks me up. So Andy's on her side for now. He's like, why all the venom towards them? And Karen's like, oh, it's just good old shady fun, Andy. And Robin's like, really? You wanted to put the responsibility of that fight on us? You tried to blame us for that fight, and now in my messages I have people telling me I need to get dragged, I need to jump off a roof, and we've been on the receiving end.
And she's like, oh, that has nothing to do with you. And Giselle's like, that has everything to do with you.
And Karen's like, I am just using my voice to shine the light on the side of, sorry, doing Giselle. I'm just using my voice to shine the light on the other side of what happened that night. Everyone's like, what other side? It was on video. We all saw it.
Yes, we did. And a lot of people are split on that one. A lot of people who have seen it. And what they're mad at is Karen was making tweets like this. My heart sank at this, but I spy some gleeful green eyes. The anointed one and hashtag her wingman. Because Karen was tweeting out screenshots that was also from the raw footage, by the way. Everybody who's screaming that. With Robin smiling during this whole fight.
Well, I mean... Yeah, but I think, I mean, I probably would be, like, smiling, too. I mean, I would be smiling, and it doesn't mean that I would have promoted the fight to happen, but I would have probably been smiling, like, oh, my God, this is crazy. Like, I do that smile a lot. Like, this is crazy. Like, a nervous smile. Like, whoa, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Why are they fighting right now?
And Karen's like, the story just needed to be told, Andy. And Candace is like, what story? Raw footage.
And Andy's like, okay, we're going to put a pin in that for now because we've got 19 hours to shoot today. So let's go to something way more boring because that's how we do it here. How about a Wendy montage?
Professor Wendy, this season, you had no problem schooling everyone who came your way, even though you have plenty of degrees. You earned your honorary PhD in shade. All right.
So the montage is basically what you think it is. Wendy going over her credentials. And the whole time, Wendy's head is in the bottom corner of the screen nodding like, that's right. Every time she's like, and I have 4 degrees, and I have a degree in this and this and this. And she's just down there nodding like, you go, lady, on that screen. You go.
Yeah. So then Andy just asks her how she enjoyed her first season, and her little boys think that they're celebrities now, and all the women are really surprised that Giselle was like really so open to Wendy, since Giselle is famously rude to everyone new who comes onto the show. But they say it was because of the AKA connection and you know, all that. And then they take a sort of a brief diversion to talk about how they were happy they were to see Kamala Harris in her white suit, you know, on the election. It's not election night, election Saturday it was. So they talked about that, you know.
Yeah, and then he's like, Wendy, you're our first Nigerian. How has the Nigerian community reacted? And she's like, they're beyond excited, Andy. If I go to the African market, I'm royalty. And they're like, oh, my God, you're my baby. My baby is here. Get the goat. Get the goat.
And then Andy turns to Robin and is like, hey, Robin, was it nice to know that Nigerians are later to events than you are?
Oh, so Wendy, are you still teaching? And she's like, yes, I teach power, policy, and politics at Johns Hopkins University, Andy. And he's like, wow, I'm impressed. And she's like, glad you are.
Yeah.
And Ashley's like, well, but I am impressed too. I don't want to take away from your accomplishments. It's just how you use them to bring others down around you.
Yeah. Viewers felt like you were constantly throwing around your degrees, and she's like, well, because I'm constantly put on the defense, to defend my degree. For instance, the other day, I went to the supermarket, and they said, do you have exact change? And I said, I have 4 degrees, in fact. I mean, the way she came at my degrees, it was just unheard of.
I was watching the weather the other day, and the weatherman said that outside had 98 degrees. And I said, who's bragging now?
I actually met Nick Lachey at a press event before the pandemic. And I was like, so what's your backstory? And he's like, well, I'm from 98 degrees. And I was like, yeah, but are they PhDs? Because I don't think so. I've got 99 of those.
And Ashley's like, well, you know, and Wendy says, Ashley's talking about when we got in a fight and I said, you can call me Dr. Wendy. And Ashley's like, yes, a conversation you initiated in a very aggressive manner. And she's like, okay, well, when you use that term aggressive, and she goes, yes, because you use your education to put people down. And Andy's like, Karen, this is interesting, Karen, because you seem the least impressed. And Karen's like, well, it had nothing to do with her academic accolades. I'm very proud of her for that. For example, is Andy a good designer? Yes. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you.
By the way, and I just want to point out that in my attempt to elevate my own education in the spirit of Wendy, I said academic accolade. That's both alliteration and it's also multiple syllables. So there are two smart ladies here.
And Andy's like, so when you called her a floozy freelancer, and she's like, I didn't call her that. Giselle said that I said that. And Giselle's like, well, I may have added that.
And see, that's like,
That's a pretty big thing to add, babe.
Yeah. So, well, the reason why I said that was because Karen from day one was trying to get you, Wendy, kicked off the show. Like in Newburgh, Karen pulled me to the side and said, Giselle, I don't like Wendy. Wendy does not fit this show.
Okay, but you still didn't answer the question. Like, that's so what Giselle does. Why would you add that she called her a floozy in there? Because she's been trying to get her kicked. You still lied. How does Giselle get away with this every single time?
She's shameless about it.
She is. It's like the second she's confronted about something, she just accuses somebody of something terrible and changes the whole conversation. She's very good at it. And it works here.
I think we as a society, whether we like it or not, I think that we appreciate people who are shameless about things. Like, if you're just going to, like, lie or just, like, be, like, stir the pot, but you do it shamelessly, we're like, well, but they were being true to themselves, you know? Like, they're just being shameless. But if she tried to, like, act like she didn't... Listen, I've seen a lot of Survivor, okay? And the people who win at the end are the ones who are shameless about everything that they did, all the mean things they did over the course of 39 days. And the ones who were like, no, but I honestly really like all of you. They may be being very honest in that moment, but no one likes that. They're like, fuck you. You're not going to win $1 million. So this is my life lesson from Survivor.
Yeah, and it works. So Wendy's like, I know she was trying to get me kicked off. And Karen's like, that is a lie. Andy on sale right now, Poshmark. So Karen's like, oh my God, why are we even giving Giselle airtime? Because she's just lying. And Robin's like, it's not a lie. Because when we got back from Portland, you said that she's not good for the show. And Wendy goes, and now we said it. She pulls out a little Camille Grammer.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that. I was like, ooh, nice crossover.
And Karen said, no, I just had challenges connecting with her. And Wendy's like, you had problems with me because I didn't want you to mentor me and I didn't kiss your ass and say I needed your help. And Andy's like, well, that's an interesting point because Candace and Ashley both came to the show like basically bowing at your feet for respect or with respect, right?
Yeah. And Wendy also calls her Mother Goose at this point, which is funny to me. Just like, I haven't thought about Mother Goose in a really long time. And so to like have that invoked in the presence of Karen was funny. So Karen's like, well, that's her opinion and it's wrong. Wendy and I had a rough first year. For me, this is day one. This Mother Goose thing, honey, you don't have to come to me anyway. And I accept you. One Mother Goose to one lady who lives in a shoe.
So then he says, well, what about that Wendy slither that she did? And Wendy loved it. And Karen's like, and you know what I love, Andy? Good sports, Andy. So I'd like to thank you, Wendy, for being such a good sport about the slither.
Hey, and you're both wearing the same shoes today. You're donning some classic Andy shoes.
Andy, these are Uchi. I'm very proud to be wearing them. So next up is Candace. Candace is not one to keep her opinions or her tweets to herself. But this season, she learned a little bit about restraint. Let's take a look.
Yeah, and it's a montage of Candace saying that she's almost ready to have a baby, but isn't sure if she's going to have a baby, but she's almost ready to have a baby. And so maybe she will have a baby. Who knows?
So I heard that you finally moved out of Dorothy's house. And she's like, you did? Is that true? Well, we'll talk about this when Chris comes out. It's like, no. You were asked a fucking question from the host of a show. Answer the question, ma'am.
He's like, don't worry. I'm going to blow up your spot a little bit later. You just watch. You had a chance to control this narrative, and now you've lost it. Yeah. So he's like, okay, that's what we call a tease. Hey, by the way, congrats on your song. How does it compare to Coffee and Love? And she's like, well, this is an actual song with no auto-tune. You can tell because you can hear my voice is flat throughout the entire thing. Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, I performed my song many times. She goes, yes, but the vocals were trash, my dear. She goes, oh, and now trash again. Well, you called my husband trash, and you and your man can't control your nasty husband's hands, and your husband is itching right now, so take care of him.
Yeah, they go at it. And then Andy's like,
Ashley goes, oh, don't talk about my husband itching.
We all know that his skin condition is that he flakes.
So,
well, then you can butt out of my conversation. And then he goes, well, you did call her vocals trash. He goes, well, it was because you asked me about the vocals. And he goes, yeah, well, I did. Okay.
Yeah, no.
So,
no, it is funny because Andy does try to, it is like a little bit of a gaslighting because she's like, well, butt out of my question. And he's like, well, but you did. Oh, now I forget what it was. But the point was that Andy was acting like he actually had no part in it. Like he did not just ask her about coffee and whatever it's called, sex. And she's like, no, you asked me about that. He's like, yeah, okay, next question.
So Julie from Manassas said your Twitter behavior is horrible. It didn't take you too long to call Ashley a wench and a roach. And I mean, come on, this is true. You are a disaster on Twitter. And she's like, thank you, Auntie. I am someone who responds when I'm being assaulted on Twitter. That is who I am, Auntie.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. That totally tracks. And so Ashley's like, well, you know, I could have said that what you were tweeting at me was like affecting me emotionally and hurting me, which is basically like a reference to what Candace says about Monique's tweets. And Candace's like, oh, be quiet. You're just trying to have a moment on TV, says the woman who brought a Showgirls fan onto the reunion.
Yeah. And she's like, just worry about your babies and your husband. And Ashley's like, oh, and now you're provoking me with my husband and my children. And Robin's like, well, Ashley, you had no problem saying anything about my husband and my children. So don't say she's provoking you by saying you have children. Robin, why are you even in this fight? Why are you even in any fights?
That's the joy of Robin. Your business. You never. Yeah. She's a mystery. So Ashley's like, well, she said things about me and my family. And Robin's like, what? So she said that that your baby looks like your husband. And Ashley goes, and that's not rude? It's like, oh, so I'm like, shouldn't that be like that's a blessing? I don't know.
No, she did say it to be mean. We all know it.
We all know it.
So they're like, well, you guys have all piled on Candace, but we've seen Ashley talk about your personal lives and you never came for her. It's like, yes, they did. They came for her. What are you talking about? And Giselle says, that's not true. And Karen's like, well, what made you think these two women couldn't have this conversation without us ganging up on them trying to make a conversation happen that wasn't ready to happen?
I was like, I'm not following that, but fine. So, hey, do you ladies think there's any colorism for why you keep calling Candace and Wendy aggressive? And Wendy's like, all too happy to hear this question. She's like, I'm looking at all of y'all to hear your answers. So Monique says that it's not about...
Yeah, Robin's like, why are you looking at me, Wendy? She's like, I'm looking at all of you.
Yeah. So Monique says it's not about color. It's about judging actions at that moment. But Wendy says that Ashley uses buzzwords like aggressive and ferocious, they're basically dog whistles for people. And Wendy says that after Ashley called her aggressive, that she got like so many people who basically DM'd her and were like, you're a bitter black bitch, all this stuff, like really, really mean stuff. And she's like, and basically Wendy's like, you have to understand like that when you say those things, it's a nod and a wink to those sort of people.
Yeah, it's like a dog whistle, basically. Mm-hmm. And Monique disagrees. She's like, it's not a black thing. And Ashley's like, well, you're doing something to incite a fight, and that was aggressive. And Robin's like, well, we need to be aware of our words, and I will never refer to a woman as aggressive because of her color. And mm-hmm. Wendy's like, yeah, but there has to be accountability here, you know, because you say there's no colorism, but you have to have the accountability as a fair-skinned person that could hurt a darker-skinned person. And Ashley's like, yeah, but that's not why I said it. And she's like, well, you do it all the time, and I'm putting you on notice.
So Andy's like, so what's a better term to use in a situation like that? And Monique is like, how about hood rat or ghetto? Maybe that's the better terminology, because, of course, that's what Candace calls Monique, and Candace is not being called out about that.
Right, and here's where this all goes a little south for me, because I agree with Wendy. I mean, look, that we've all heard those terms used. So if she's saying that that's offense, just say, I'm sorry. That's not how I meant it. I meant it how you were acting. I'll do better, right? Like, that's not hard. But then Wendy, because she's team Candace, will never call Candace out on that. And that was way worse, calling her ghetto and hood rat and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I also think it's just... In my mind, those are two different, like, in this case, they're specifically talking about, you know, ferocious and aggressive, like those words. I think that Monique totally had a very, very, very valid point when she said that, which is like, hello, apparently that's okay. I would have liked Wendy to have also condemned what Candace said too, because it's totally wrong.
Yeah. So then Andy's like, well, Candace, you admit that you have a tendency to provoke people. And she's like, I have a tendency to use words very well, which is sometimes to my detriment.
Poor her with her. She's just so articulate. You know, she just can't control. With great power comes great responsibility. And with even not a lot of great power, apparently, comes great responsibility. So Giselle's like, yes, but you can be extremely below the belt.
And she's like, well, I could pull back and I own that. And he's like, you know, I think your life could be better if you just eased up on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just maybe don't tweet. This is me, Andy Cohen, who basically has a career off of you ladies fighting each other on Twitter and bringing it onto camera. And I'm telling you to ease up on Twitter.
Yeah, might I suggest tweeting things like, good morning. That always seems to work. He's like, so how are you with your season-long storyline of thinking about possibly maybe having kids one day? And she's like, well, we're still talking about it, and there has been some forward movement, so you may know things soon.
And
we're all dying to know.
We can't wait. We can't wait to know that you, like, might have an IUD or something like that. So she's like, hey, so I hear you're back in school. It's like, yes, Andy, I'm getting my MBA. I'm very excited. Well, that's great. I didn't know the Learning Annex gave that out. Anyway, between this and the new house, you guys are really growing up. Wow, growing up in that new house of yours, that beautiful new house. And she's like, well, Andy, that was what I was going to tease with Chris. So thanks very much. I'm like, First of all, applause to Andy because he totally got her on that. He knew exactly what he was saying. Second of all, why were you teasing that with Chris? Like, why did we have to have a special moment that, like, the two of you announce it? This is not like you're sitting down mom and dad to say, hey, guys, we're getting married or we're having a baby. It's like, we don't need both of you guys to announce that you're having that you bought a yeah, house. Like, we actually really don't care.
Yeah. And she's like, and I will have you know, we purchased a new home together. My mother was generous enough to donate a rubber plant, and that is all that she gave us. I was like, uh-huh, and how about that MBA?
Yeah.
Mom bought education.
Like, what was, like, was there a check at the bottom of the rubber plant that you sort of pulled out of that dirt?
Yeah. And so Giselle's like, either way, it's impressive. And you're pregnant? She's like, I'm not pregnant, bitch.
So now it's time to take a break, but they're not allowed to get out of their seats, which is kind of funny. By the way, one thing I also noticed, that Ashley's hair went from straight to curly to straight. Actually, I didn't notice it. Dom noticed it, but I'm saying it that I noticed it.
But, yeah, her hair kept changing.
Yeah, it was going straight. Then it was like, then it had like a curl, and then it was straight again. So, so they clearly did get up at some point, but. For those of you guys who were wondering, like, I think they got up. I'm here to tell you guys they got up at some point. So while they're sitting there on break, Monique and Ashley start talking, and Monique is calling, calling Candace and Giselle fake and shiesty and all that stuff.
Yeah, so she still hasn't had any accountability. Oh, the fakery. And, you know, them trying to spread all this stuff behind my back. You know what? You want rumors? We can play rumors. You don't want to see what's in that binder, honey. I was like, oh, yes. And then we get a close-up of the binder. And when we come back, Giselle, this season, the word on the street was that there's a pastor in your jeans. Ah!
And so we see this Jamal segment. And while it's happening, you see in the little corner, Karen's watching and or not watching because she puts on, like, her lip gloss or whatever. And she like, does it, like, aggressively, like, well, I'm putting on my lip gloss with my lips to show how much I don't care for Jamal.
So let's start with your house. Is the West Wing complete? And she's like, no, because of Corona, basically. And he's like, okay, let's talk about the real questions. Your decor sucks. Everybody talks about it. How do you feel about that?
Well, I just like what I like, and it all works together.
Or not. Well, that's your opinion, Karen. It was just a question. No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Well,
LOL.
I mean, are you open to the idea that some things might not work well together? I mean, look, the theme of your house is Ronald McDonald. Orange, red, purple, really everything. And it all goes not well together.
Well, congrats, Karen. Her geritol kicked in. Oh, let's do the ageless thing, shall we? Ageless. And Wendy's like, it's ageism.
Do it again, Wendy. Do it again, Wendy.
Ageist? Well, honey, you're 50 years old, so don't do it. All right, you're 50 years old. Kick!
So what's going on with every hue? So the manufacturer, Giselle says the manufacturer shut down because of COVID, which explains why no one has any access to any makeup for the past 9 months in the world. But Karen's like, oh, really? Are you still selling your product? Because La Dame didn't exist, remember? And my fragrance didn't exist. But my fragrance is in Bloomingdale's.com. Retailing! Retailing!
And Giselle's like, well, congrats about that. Oh, well, you said it didn't exist. You come for me. If your business is out of business, just tell the truth. Because the word on the street is Target liquidated you. They threw water on the witch, and now she's liquid on the floor.
Listen, I mean, I don't mean to brag, but unless you have your own fragrance that sits side by side with Chanel No. 4, I don't think you really get to talk about these things.
Eight Diamonds, that's what I'm next to.
Session by Alvin Klein.
And Andy's like, well, you did have a go at her, and the chickens are home to roost now. It's like, the manufacturer closed. But we're not done. And Karen's like, I wish you well.
I wish you well. And if you want, I can put you in touch with a very fabulous designer. Her name is Donatello Orsacci.
So Andy is talking about Jamal. So Jamal runs a new birth church, which is fitting, wouldn't you say? I mean, come on, guys. He's really just going with the theme of the church. You can't expect Jamal to work at a place called New Birth and not have one himself.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
Give the guy a break.
So how often does Giselle see Jamal in COVID? And she says she doesn't get to see him a lot because George's numbers are crazy and she isn't reckless with how she handles COVID. She's only reckless with whom she gives her heart to.
Yes. And Andy's like, and what about the scene with your dad? That was awkward, mostly because he could have had a free refill of iced tea and didn't take it. That's how much he wanted to get out of that scene.
Well, my dad loves and supports me, and if he didn't have that feeling, we'd have a problem. I mean, he's my dad. He's not supposed to approve of Jamal or his seven baby mamas.
So Andy asks the other women if they see a difference in Giselle since she reunited with him. And then comes the Karen and Monique tag team that yep. we did not know we needed. Changed my life.
Yeah.
So Karen's like, oh, are you back with him? Because that's not what the word on the street is. The word is, you and Jamal said he would save your job by pretending that you're still together. And I don't want to talk about it because it's just so dirty and low down. So I want to ask you, are you in a relationship with him?
Yeah. Was your relationship true, or did he have a baby with another woman while he was dating you? Because if that's true, if it is, it happened on your watch while you brought him on the show. I mean, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't want just people are asking me questions.
So then we go to commercial, and we come back, and she's still grilling her. She's like, well, your father said that he had a baby with another woman while he was dating you. Is that true? And Giselle just laughs.
Mm-hmm. And but she looks a little flustered, I have to say.
She looks totally... She looks totally caught. I mean, Giselle was the biggest loser in this entire reunion.
She
totally yeah. got ramrode. And how was she not prepared for this? It's been all over the internet.
Yeah, she looked totally blindsided. She had this like weird smile on her face. Like she's like, I gotta smile now because otherwise they're gonna think they got to me. But she's like gulping hard and like her eyes are kind of like glazing, not glazing over. They just look like they're focusing on some distant area. And so Giselle's like, she's like, well, since you don't want to have anything to do with it, Karen, great. Andy, any questions?
And he's like, well, would you stay with him if he's had another baby with another woman? She goes, he has not. My father was exaggerating, and we've been through a lot. And Monique's like, yeah, but when you were announcing that you were back together, he told his girlfriend it was just for a storyline. And Giselle just goes, thanks.
He's like, well, how do you know that? And Monique's like, oh, because the lady he's been dating, she's a pastor, and she reached out to me a long time ago, and she sent a bunch of screenshots and pics of him in her bed and things like that.
And, you know, I said, well, I'm not going to use that because I don't play dirty. But, you know, Giselle likes to play dirty, so he's definitely been talking to this other woman who's a preacher, and it's very clear conversations, and if you'd like to see them, here's my trapper keeper. So she whips out her binder and starts just thumbing through it. And she does that thing where she's licking her finger to get through the pages. Like she's ready to go. And Candace goes, oh, she's been waiting to show those receipts for months. I was like, really, lady who shows up with video footage of Michael every season?
That's true, too.
Over there. Yeah. So Monique's like, well, then you can react to, because Giselle says, I have no reaction. And she goes, well, then you can react to this because he's always asking her what her schedule is. And then she asked when he's doing his little church tours. And Andy goes, well, how do you know that those are really from her? And she's like, you want me to call out his phone number? I'm sure she knows what his phone number is. And then she just keeps thumbing through the papers and starts calling out his full phone number.
Yeah. I was like, what's your motivation behind this? I'm like, it's pretty clear, Robin. So Monique says the number and Andy's like, is that the number? And Giselle goes, yeah, that's the number.
God, that's so awkward. And Candace goes, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and so then, so does that upset you if that's his number? And she's like, well, I don't believe anything that comes out of Monique's mouth. And anything that does come out of her binder. I mean, I'm glad she's done some bindering. There we go. Back on the track. Bindering. Making fun of her binder.
And Monique keeps going. She's like, well, and then she says, for me, it's not a good idea to travel to Atlanta if you're trying to put your family back together. And he says, what are you talking about? And she says, what am I talking about? And then she screenshots the actual article about him trying to put his family back together. And Candace interrupts and she's like, are we really listening to this? This is the same person that was running and crying wolf to Bravo when someone was writing truths about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do, too. That's exactly what you've been doing all season, is crying and running to Bravo and crying wolf about the tweets she wrote about you. Oh, my God. Hypocrite.
Yeah, she's like, this is your friend. Can't, like, I think she's saying that to Karen, you know? She's, and Candace is like, did you bring a whole binder to read verbatim what a hoe might have had to say about a pastor? It's pathetic and it's low. I'm like, ma'am, you're the one who brought, like, a frivolous-ass case to the courts, you know, that cost a lot of people money.
And also, she just called a preacher lady a hoe.
that too.
The lady they're talking about is a pastor, okay? So Monique's like, well, of course I'm bringing receipts to back up what I'm saying. So while you sit over there having fake fraudulent relationships with your ex, fraud, bringing a different man to the reunion every single year, well, I hope he's sitting behind you this year, Pastor Holiday Whore. Since when you want to keep calling my husband a big boy if you want to do that, Pastor Holy Whore? I wrote Holiday Whore.
I know. I like that. It was lovely. I mean, Holiday Whore is adorable. Like, Holy Whore is like, wow. But Holiday Whore is like, that's kind of cute.
Pastor Holiday Whore.
Holiday Whore.
So Giselle just sits there completely destroyed. And I was like, am I feeling something for Giselle? And I was, but it also felt really good.
Yeah.
Because she deserves that.
She looked totally, totally blindsided. And Monique's just like going back to her binder. Well, she's at this point, she's now looking at Giselle. And she's like, well, your pastor boyfriend is slinging his big D all around his congregation in Atlanta. And you know it. You're a fraud. I was like,
and then she actually stops because Giselle is so destroyed. Like, she's literally, well, emotionally, I shouldn't say literally, but she's like on the ground, completely been destroyed. And then Monique actually stops for a second. So Karen goes, is Jamal coming? She's like, no. Oh, of course not. Mm. Yeah. And Andy's face, his jaw was on the floor and he was just looking back and forth like, oh, shit, what do I do now?
I'm excited to see what else comes out of that binder.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a good binder. Yeah.
This is the first time anybody has ever gotten Giselle like this.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, so glorious. Wow.
It was good. Good first hour. Excited to see where it goes. Next week, it looks like Candace is going to go off crying, which is expected. And I'm hoping, though, as fun as it was to watch Monique just read Giselle, it was fun, but it didn't feel like it was central to what really needs to be done, which is for someone to really read Candace down. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why
there's
a whole binder there. So
there's a lot in that binder. And now that the case has been thrown out, Monique's going to have at her, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh man, this is one of the times I'm finished with my notes and I'm actually sad to be at the end.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, this is when this is really going to get good and dirty and, super heartwarming right at Christmas, guys.
Yeah.
like Christmas week.
Perfect for Christmas. So we'll be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Atlanta. And then we'll also have Below Deck up this week as well. It's back. It's back on our roster. So y'all just stay tuned. Subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. And as long as you subscribe, then the episodes will just come to you and you'll just don't have to worry about what we're covering because it'll just be there ready for your enjoyment.
How about that
technology.
All right, bye everybody, thanks for being here, we love you guys.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.